Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom everyone. This is Evangelist August Lutano with Canadian Bible Prophecy Ministries. I want to welcome you to our show. We look at world events, one of the biblical prophecies. Well, it is great to be here with you on this Saturday afternoon. And folks, I am coming to you live from Culper, Oklahoma, where tomorrow morning I will begin a four-day Bible prophecy conference at Westside Baptist Church. This church is pastored by a friend of mine, Brother Robert Matney. And the last time I preached for Brother Matney was about maybe 5 years ago when he was in Bentonville, Arkansas. But now the Lord has moved him here to Culper, Oklahoma. And actually, folks, we are on Indian Reservation, Cherokee Indian Reservation. Patty and I left Chattanooga, Tennessee yesterday, and we came here to Oklahoma to get ready for this four-day Bible prophecy conference that will take place Sunday through Wednesday. And folks, I am really excited, and I am really looking forward to seeing what God is going to do in this prophecy conference. So Patty and I are really excited to be here, and we're really looking forward to seeing what God is going to do. So I want to ask all of you out there to do me a favor. Please pray for this conference. Pray for the Word of God to go forth, that God would use me to minister to His people with accuracy from the Word of God and with clarity. And so we're praying for souls to be saved, lives to be touched, and that the people of this church will get clear Bible teaching. So if you can pray for me and for this conference, I really would appreciate it. Now, for the last 3 days, Patty and I were in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And we were at the School of Prophets Conference. That was put on by Dr. Jimmy DeYoung of Prophecy Today. Folks, we had 23 hours of classes taught by Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and David James. David James is the director for the Alliance of Biblical Integrity. You've heard him on my radio show a few times in the past. And David James taught an excellent study on signs and wonders in the charismatic movement. And folks, he showed some very, very disturbing video of what goes on in a lot of these charismatic circles today. And he also showed parallel video of a lot of the pagan practices done by pagan tribal leaders, Hinduism. They do the same exact thing that's being brought into the charismatic movement. Just very, very disturbing to see this paganism being brought into the church. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung talked about the kingdom. Is it now? in operation, or is it yet to come? Again, there's a lot of false teaching that is going on in the church today that is teaching that we are in the kingdom right now, that Jesus is seated on the throne of David right now, that he is reigning over the nations of the world right now. And folks, if he's reigning over the nations of the world right now, I'm sorry I signed up for this deal. We are not in the kingdom. The kingdom is not in operation right now. I know that based on Hebrews chapters 1, 8, 10, and 12, especially Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 8. So Dr. DeYoung and David James did an excellent job on this, and I'm working on my master's through the School of Prophets in conjunction with Louisiana Baptist University in the area of advanced prophetic. So we were there earlier this year in February in Chattanooga for two courses taught by Jimmy DeYoung Jr. That's Dr. DeYoung's son, obviously. And he taught about the three strands of the human family. And, of course, Dr. DeYoung spoke on the temples, past, what they're looking to do now, and the tribulation temple and the temple of Ezekiel. So, folks, if you really want to study the Word of God, either take it for credit or just to simply study and get a certificate, I would recommend that you call up Prophecy Today, 8, Prophecy 8, that's a toll-free number, and talk to a Jody, that's Dr. DeYoung's daughter. She'll tell you exactly what you would need to do. I mean, folks, I mean, me, I was overwhelmed at all of the information that was given. There's a lot of reading assignments, a lot of paperwork. But folks, I'm telling you, it will be absolutely well worth it for you. The next School of Prophets will take place next year, Lord willing, in April. So you might want to make arrangements for that. Again, folks, I'm coming to you live, Colterd, Oklahoma. Now, Colterd, that's spelled C-O-L-C-O-R-D. Now, they inform me out here that the O sounds like an A. So it's not Colterd, but it is Colterd, Oklahoma. And again, if you live in this area or any of the surrounding areas, come and join us for this Bible Prophecy Conference, beginning tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. and then going all the way into Wednesday, 7 p.m. nightly, Monday through Wednesday, 7 p.m. nightly. I will be looking at current world events in light of biblical prophecy and the soon return of Jesus the Messiah. In the next prophetic event on God's calendar that we call the rapture of the church of the living God. Folks, that is the next prophetic event on God's calendar. And given what we see happening in the world today, what is taking place in the Middle East, the world coming against Israel, the Russian military buildup in Syria, the Iranian nuclear deal and how they're going to use all of these billions of dollars that was given to them by the United States that they're going to use to sponsor statewide terrorism and their daily calls to wipe Israel off the face of the map. Folks, we are indeed living in some exciting times. But we know the darker it gets in the world, the brighter it gets for the believer and follower of Jesus the Messiah. And folks, that blessed hope is the doctrine of the rapture of the church. But even in the church, there are those who no longer believe in the rapture. I got a couple of emails a few days ago on Facebook chat from friends of mine that used to attend the church that I used to go to back in 2003. And they said that they belonged to a church where the pastor just recently said that he believes in preterism. Now, preterism, by the way, people like R.C. Sproul, Hank Hanegraaff, they're all preterists. Preterism believes that some, if not all, of the prophecies in Daniel, or especially in the book of Revelation, have already been fulfilled. Everything that happened in the book of Revelation was fulfilled 2,000 years ago in the year 70 A.D. They said Revelation was fulfilled with the temple destruction, the Jews being dispersed to the four corners of the earth. All the events in the book of Revelation was fulfilled in 70 A.D. There are no future prophecies to look forward to. No rapture. There'll be no future seven-year period of tribulation to come. All of it was fulfilled in the year 70 A.D. But we as the church, we're responsible for converting the nations of the world to Christianity and bringing government under our thumb as the church. And then when we get everything right, then when Jesus comes back, we'll just hand it over to him. Folks, that's absolutely terrible. That is extreme, bogus, atrocious eschatology, if I've ever heard it. But this is what preterism teaches. And my advice to those two people who contacted me, my advice to them was that they needed to get out of that church. Now, I don't usually say that to people, folks, but when someone is teaching extreme false doctrine and robbing the church of the doctrine of the blessed hope of Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13, then you just simply need to get out of there. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. We here at Today in Bible Prophecy Ministries, as we travel all across the United States, teaching on current events in light of biblical prophecy, we want to encourage. We don't want to discourage. We want to encourage. We want to build up. We want to edify and get people motivated to not only get serious about their walk with the Lord, but get serious about sharing the gospel and winning souls in these last days. And, you know, we got a lot of garbage going on in the church today. In-house fighting, bickering, church splits, debates, arguments over doctrine. I mean, folks, I simply have no tolerance, nor do I have any time for that nonsense. Now, sure, I mean, I'll answer questions when they come in, but when somebody wants to look for a debate to edify their own ego, try to prove somebody else wrong, or to try to prove me wrong, hey, go find another lake to jump on, because we're going to have no tolerance for that nonsense whatsoever. But that is exactly what's happening. We here at Today in Bible Prophecy Ministries, we want to get our spiritual priorities in order. And we want to do things that are going to edify, encourage, not discourage, encourage, and build up the body of Messiah. And to show people that the blessed hope of the rapture of the church could happen at any moment, at any time. And you know, here at Today in Bible Prophecy Ministries, folks, you're not going to get drama. You're not going to get sensationalism. And if you tuned in last week when I interviewed David James on the blood moons and the mystery of the Shemitah, folks, we showed you that this is nothing but hype, drama, sensationalism, and it totally departs from the authority of the Word of God. We believe in the doctrine of imminency, imminence or imminency, that nothing has to be fulfilled. No prophecies have to be fulfilled in order for the rapture of the church to take place. In other words, nothing has to happen. Now, we do see a lot of stage-setting events taking place right now that will lead to the ultimate fulfillment of Bible prophecy. But nothing has to be fulfilled. Before we get into the news story of the day, and it's one of my favorites, when we come into the fall season of the high Jewish holy days, Patty and I, my wife, will be leading an 11-day Bible prophecy tour to Israel. We would love to have you join my wife and I in the Holy Land, as well as Petra in southern Jordan. The dates for that are March 14th through the 24th. And that will be 11 days as we will teach Bible prophecy on location in Israel, as well as in Petra in southern Jordan. It's going to be a great time of fellowship, and we would love to have you join us on that trip of a lifetime. If you would like to come with us, March 14th to 24th, 2016, then you can call our tour operator, Christian Tours to Israel. Their number is 1-888-300-3038. That's 1-888-300-3038. Ask for Eyal Evan. Eyal spelled E-Y-A-L. Eyal Evan. E-V-A-N. Eyal Evan. Let him know that you want to join us in Israel, Lord willing, next year. It will be a trip of a lifetime. I'll be leaving for Israel in December. And it'll be for 2.5 weeks, not touring. But once again, my friend Dr. Todd Baker of Zola Levitt Ministries, and also he's the founder of Brit Hadashah Ministries. Brit Hadashah is Hebrew for New Covenant, or what we would call the New Testament. Him and I will be going back to Israel to share the gospel with the Jewish people, as we did this past June. But folks, if you could help us out with that, that would be a blessing. Anything that you would like to send toward the ministry, go to my website, www.todayinbibleprophecy.org, and there's a PayPal button there. You can click on that PayPal button, and you can donate whatever you feel the Lord has laid on your heart to do so. But if you can keep that trip in prayer, that would be a blessing. Also, when you go to the website, sign up for our newsletter. It goes out every single week. And you can go there and sign up for the newsletter. Stay in touch with us. Where we're going to be going, might be going to a church near you. And so I hope and pray that you would do that. So what I want to do right now, again, we're coming to you live from Colquhoun, Oklahoma, tomorrow morning, 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 7 p.m. nightly. I'll be preaching at Westside Baptist Church. Brother Robert Matney is the pastor, and we're so excited and grateful once again to be here. If you live anywhere in the area, please come on out and join us as I look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy. What I want to do is read out of Leviticus chapter number 23. Leviticus 23, looking at verses 23 through 25, and it says this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, or they say in Hebrew, the Shabbat, a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. That phrase, a holy convocation, simply means a holy gathering. When God's people come together, that's what we do when we go to church, whether it's on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, midweek service. When we get together in God's house, we are having a holy convocation. Verse 25 says, ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. So this feast, Feast of Trumpets, was, you know, if it fell on a Tuesday, that Tuesday would be a high Sabbath. If it fell on a Wednesday, that would be a high Sabbath. If it was on a Thursday, Monday, whatever, that day would be a high Sabbath. Or if it fell on Shabbat, well, it would be an even higher Sabbath. But it was a Sabbath, and there was no work whatsoever that was to be done on that day. It was a high, holy day. And yet the Bible says it was in the first day of the month. And of course, that would be the Jewish month Elul. E-L-U-L. Elul. Elul is the Jewish month that corresponds with the month of September. You know, we have 365 days a year in the Gregorian calendar. We have 31 day months. But in the Jewish calendar, the lunar calendar, it's only 360 days, 30 day months. And so it was a Sabbath, a blowing of trumpets. And then, of course, you would do no servile work, but they would offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord on a Feast of Trumpets. Now, Leviticus 23:23 through 25 speaks of the three fall feasts of the seven Jewish feasts of Leviticus chapter 23. There were three spring feasts. That would be Passover, or as they say in Hebrew, Pesach. And then there would be unleavened bread. And then, of course, there would be first fruits. Those were the three spring feasts. And then there would be a summer feast. That summer feast would be known in Hebrew as Shavuot. Shavuot is Hebrew for what we would call Feast of Weeks. And that would happen 50 days after first fruits. You know it better in the Greek as Pentecost. There were three spring feasts, but then there were also three fall feasts. The first of the three fall feasts is right here in Leviticus 23:23 through 25. Feast of Trumpets, known as Yom Teruah. And it would involve the blowing of trumpets or shofars, if you will. So far, so good? Okay, folks, I couldn't resist. And then 10 days after the Feast of Trumpets, you see, between the Feast of Trumpets and the next Jewish feast, Day of Atonement, or as they say in Hebrew, Yom Kippur, between Trumpets and Atonement were 10 days known as the 10 days of awe. During that period of the 10 days of awe, Jews would, they would repent of any sins that they have done. Not repentance as, you know, as you and I know repentance, but they would search themselves, see if they've done any wrong. They would call people, apologize if they've wronged them, if they've done something bad to them, they want to make it right, and so on and so forth. A lot of soul searching between those 10 days. And then, after that 10-day period, 10 days of awe, would be the sixth feast, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. That would be Leviticus 23 and verse number 27. And then the seventh and final feast would be Tabernacles. That's Leviticus 23 and verse number 34. That is known as Sukkot, when they build huts behind the home of the Jewish people. They would build huts, or what they call in Hebrew, sukkahs. They would build these sukkahs in their backyard, and then they would hang citrus and fruits and, you know, things of that sort in there, to commemorate what God did for the Jewish people as they were making their way through the wilderness on their way to the land of milk and honey, the promised land, the land of Canaan, or what we would call today the land of Israel. God provided them booths, booths, B-O-O-T-H-S, booths, for huts to shade them from the hot, sweltering sun. As we enter the fall high holy days. We now come into Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. And again, trumpets would involve the blowing of the shofar. This would be the ram's horn. That comes all the way out of Genesis chapter number 22. Abraham goes to sacrifice Isaac on the mountains of Moriah, or what we would call today Mount Moriah, the Temple Mount. And that is where Abraham takes Isaac for sacrifice. That is where David purchases the threshing floor from Arunah the Jebusite in 2 Samuel chapter 24. That is where Solomon builds the first Jewish temple. 2 Chronicles chapter 3 tells us it was on Moriah. That is today Mount Moriah. That is where the first and second Jewish temples once stood. And that is where today the Islamic shrine of the Dome of the Rock occupies that very site. It was constructed in 691 AD. It's been there for 1,321 years. But when you go back to Genesis 22, that shofar, that ram's horn, remember, God replaced Isaac with a ram. Its horn was caught in the thicket. That horn became a symbol for the Jewish people, and they would blow the ram's horn. Now, if you've heard me preach at your church, you would hear that I would blow a shofar at the end of every service. What I usually blow is not the ram's horn, even though I do have a ram's horn that I take with me, but I also blow the Yemenite shofar. And the Yemenite shofar, it's a longer version of a ram's horn. The rabbis usually prefer blowing that one in the synagogue during the high holy days. Throughout biblical times, there were a series of shofars or ram's horns that were blown, you know, during the times of the days of Israel. You know, they would blow a shofar to gather the people together for a holy convocation. They would blow a shofar if war was impending to gather the troops. They would blow a shofar to gather everyone together to leave and continue to go on to another location. According to Ezekiel 33, the watchman on the wall would look out across the horizon at night to see if anybody was coming. If he saw somebody coming, he would blow the ram's horn. He would blow the shofar to warn the people that someone was coming. Now, how do we know that the shofar is indeed the ram's horn? Well, folks, all you have to do is read Joshua chapter number 6, verses 4, 5, 6, 8, and 13. That's Joshua chapter 6, verses 4, 5, 6, 8, and 13. And that shows that the priest blew the trumpets of ram's horn. That is a shofar. We know the story of Joshua and the walls of Jericho. They blew the shofar, they blew the ram's horn. The walls came tumbling down. Based on Jewish tradition, according to the rabbi, when a person blows the shofar, the devils and the demons flee at the sound of the shofar, because it's like the sound of the voice of God. So this feast takes place in the Jewish month Elul. As I said, it corresponds to the month of September. Sometimes it would take place late September, early October, in the Jewish month of Tishri. That would be late September, early October. The Feast of Trumpets is called Rosh Hashanah. Love that Hebrew word. Rosh Hashanah. It is the Jewish civil new year. Rosh is Hebrew, or head, or chief. And Shana is Hebrew for year. So Rosh Hashanah is the head of the new year. And beginning this Sunday night, it will be the new year on the Jewish calendar, 5776. Why 5776? Because the rabbis believe that 5,776 years ago, God created the heavens and the earth. 5,776 years ago. Now that proves, ladies and gentlemen, that this is a very young earth. It's not an old earth that has evolved over billions and billions of years as the evolutionist theorists are trying to cram down our throats. It's a very young earth. 5,776 years ago, God created the heavens and the earth. Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish civil new year, begins Sunday night. So if you know a Jewish person, you would greet them in Hebrew by one of two ways. You would say, Shana Tova. That means to a good year. Or you would say in Hebrew, Chag Sameach. Chag Sameach. That is, have a happy holiday. So the Jewish people will celebrate the new year of 5775. But what does all this have to do with Bible prophecy? Well, you know, a lot of people say that the rapture of the church will be fulfilled at the Feast of Trumpets. Now, I believe that for many, many years, and I've taught that for many, many years. But, folks, that really isn't the case because these are Jewish feasts. They're exclusively for the Jewish people. And so this is not for the church. It's for the Jewish people. So, yes, of course, at the rapture, a trumpet sounds to call the church out of the world at the time of the rapture of the church. But remember, folks, this isn't a Christian feast. These are Jewish feasts, so it has everything to do with the Jewish people. Rosh Hashanah is going to be fulfilled not at the rapture of the church, but it will be fulfilled at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know this based on Matthew chapter number 24 and looking at verse number 31. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 31 says this. Immediately, I'll begin at verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, power and great glory. Verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Now, that's not the rapture right there, folks. Matthew 24 deals with the tribulation period. Not with the church age, with the tribulation period. Matthew 24 and Matthew 25 can be divided this way. Matthew 24, the tribulation. Matthew 25, the kingdom. Jesus talks about the tribulation. Matthew 24 talks about the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 25, a trumpet sounds in Matthew 24:31. That's not the rapture. That's the second coming. That happens at the end of the seven-year period of tribulation. A trumpet sounds to gather together his elect from the four corners of the earth. The elect here are those who got saved during the tribulation period. They come to faith in Jesus the Messiah as their Lord and personal Savior. They got saved after the rapture. They got saved during the tribulation period. And, of course, many will lose their lives in the tribulation period when they reject the Antichrist, they reject the mark of the beast. Many will lose their lives, but many will survive, and then they'll go into the millennial kingdom in their physical, natural bodies. But a trumpet sounds to gather his elect from the four corners of the earth. We know that 7 years earlier, a trumpet sounded to call the church out of the world at the rapture. But 7 years later, a trumpet will sound to gather his elect, the saved of the tribulation period, Jew and Gentile, to go into the inauguration of the millennial kingdom with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other, from one end of the earth to the other, to gather his elect to the inauguration of the millennial kingdom in Jerusalem. And that's where Jesus will set up his kingdom. But when he comes back at his second coming, at Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, 10 days will elapse before Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. During that 10-day period, Jesus is going to do something. He's going to rearrange Jerusalem. He's going to rearrange the Temple Mount. He is going to erect a 21-story high temple. He will go to Petra and gather those Jews that have been sheltered in Petra for the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. He will bring them back to the Mount of Olives, where his feet will touch the Mount of Olives. Zechariah 14:4, the campaign of Armageddon will take place. All of that will happen during that 10-day period. Remember what I told you earlier? That is the 10 days of awe between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, between the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement, where Jews do a lot of soul searching, a lot of repentance, and they make things right with their fellow man. Well, during that 10-day period, Jesus, the Messiah, will do all those things. And then will be the sixth feast, Day of Atonement, or the Yom Kippur. Day of Atonement, the most sacred Jewish day on the calendar. So, folks, this Rosh Hashanah, this Jewish New Year, 5776, reminds us that Bible prophecy will indeed be fulfilled, because it reminds us that a trumpet will call the church out of the world at the rapture of the church. But remember, Feast of Trumpets is not the rapture, because it has nothing to do with the church. These are Jewish feasts. It has everything to do with Israel and the Jewish people. But Rosh Hashanah does remind us that a trumpet will sound to call the church out of the world at the rapture. And folks, that could happen at any moment, at any time. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, today is the day of salvation. Repent of your sins. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Ask him to come into your life to forgive you of your sins. And he'll save you from your sins, give you a home in heaven, and you'll be ready for that next event we call the rapture of the church. Well, folks, my time is up. Don't forget, I'm preaching here at Colburn, Oklahoma, Westside Baptist Church. Hope you can come and join us. Until next week, God is in the valley. Look it up. Jesus is coming soon.